You can support this show at patreon.com/ASApodcasting.
Every knob has a purpose.
The Wasteland is a post-apocalyptic mess. As the sole survivor wanders out, about to see the rest. Nuclear explosions sending out the gamma rays from deep within the core. Gross atomic waste. From deep within the core.
Will, did you get to play any Fallout this week? Or I've been seeing you post stuff from other games a lot recently, too.
Yeah, well, you know, like, that's not always the most recent things I play. I try to, like, mix it up because I have just a ridiculous amount of photos just stored away. And sometimes I just, like, I might be on my break at work and I just scroll into it. It's like, oh, that looks like a fun one to post right now, you know, for whatever reason. So it could be, whatever I'm posting isn't necessarily the most recent thing I'm playing. But yeah, I have. You're right. Again, like I know I said I was all the way back in Fallout last time, and I was. But for whatever reason, I ended up picking up Last of Us Part Two again.
Nice.
Just playing through that, and I'm having a fun time with that. But I did, you know, I've been putting in a fair amount of time with 76. I finished, wrapped up the Fallout 4 quests and stuff like that. So a little bit of Meatweeks. I've been having some bad luck with the primal cuts, or not the primal cuts, the actual meat cook itself. I've only done two of them.
Oh.
I got plenty of prime meat stored up. Well, some I just accidentally missed this, that, or whatever. One I finished, I didn't get any good rewards. Another one, I went and I did the whole thing, or I thought, I went and I was waiting, and I was like, you know, you fast travel to it, and it's like usually still like a minute and a half till the event starts. So I went over and just spun on the meat spit for a while. The drums were taken. I usually prefer the drums, but so I spun on the meat spit for a while, and then it's like, okay, it started, and it's like, all right, let me go drop off all this prime meat I have. And I guess I got the workbench glitch,
or
where you freeze.
Oh, no.
when I left the meat spit, and I didn't know what to do. Yeah, so I didn't know what to do, and I was like, well, but it let me fast travel away. It's like, oh, maybe if I, so I just fast traveled to the vault, and then I fast traveled back, and then this should have been my first clue. I went to drop off the meat at my prime meat, and it didn't seem like it was taking it. I wasn't quite sure. It's like maybe it took it and I didn't notice. It's like, all right, okay, fine. Well, I'm just back here. Let me go turn the meat spit again, because, you know, I don't like killing the animals and stuff. I feel too bad. I like to do the nicest stuff. That's why I stick with the drums. But or I could collect greens. Anyways, so I went and I was turning the meat spit, and I would hear the thing go off like ching, ching, ching. And, like it's counting towards the event. And I was like, okay, great. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, like, I thought I was back in the event. But then all of a sudden I see, like, I never got – any
no
indication the event was over. And then I start people doing the thumbs up to each other, and you know, it's like, all right, you know, and everything. And I was like, wait, it's over? Like,
I've had that happen twice, Will. And you still get credit for what you do. You still get credit for turning the spit and grabbing the trash, but you don't get the rewards at the end.
I did not get any rewards, right?
Oh,
it didn't do that.
Oh, that sucks.
I was going to say, did you check the
I did it to help some of our friends who were AFK, because there was a server where we had more AFK friends than actual people, and Jerry was on by himself, and I'm like, okay, I'm jumping in too. And so Jerry, Lacey, and I, you know, we kept the hope alive for our friends.
I've had a few prime cuts where you don't see the result at the end, but you do get the rewards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but here I check the new tab.
Yeah, one of them even came up the heading came up, you know, complete, but it only came up to about half visibility and then disappeared. So it's not working quite right.
Did you get any of your items, Will?
No, so that was it. I didn't get any. Like, I tried the two, like a couple others. I missed the timing on it a little bit. You know, sometimes you start thinking you can squeeze in an extra primal cut.
We touched on that earlier on. Like, why is that goddamn final pro like at 9:57? Why does that thing launch 3 minutes before the top of the goddamn hour?
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, I. Got a little too cocky with that, I guess. I tried to take a couple on late, you know, by myself. I was like, I can do it. It doesn't matter. But apparently I can't.
Well, so, what we decided, Will, was that the last one can only be the easiest level, because not only is it easier so you can finish faster. It's closer to the event in case some weird travel.
Oh, okay. Happens, yeah. So. Well, like, and I know one of them, I shouldn't have tried it. I've decided the Meyer one is harder than the Cranberry Bog one.
Really?
No,
with all the gulpers and the Meyerwerk Kings.
Yes. And, yeah.
The anything that has Meyerwerk Kings. Yeah.
And well, and it's just because it's a little harder to see and they can sneak up on you. Like at the Cranberry Bog, it's a little bit more open. It's a little more open. So you can kind of look around and see, and you know, it's just a little easier to work with the terrain and stuff. Yeah.
I don't like the bog one because they spawn in the tree line and they just stand there and you run in. I can't see anything fighting in the tree. So you have to run into the tree line and then draw them out. Otherwise, I can't see them well. You know, the problems of being a melee character, y'all.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's like
can't a lot of backwards running.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else you want to mention with your gameplay, Will? Doing meat week?
No, not such? Really. I kind of came unprepared. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I heard you when I got in. I heard you talking about if you could figure out how to mobile play.
Yes.
Yeah, and I have not figured that out myself yet. Mm-hmm. But I got in the mail today one of these little contraptions. It's called a backbone or something. And apparently,
you got a backbone? Did you order it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because when Will's, you just said I got it in the mail, I'm like, wait, how did this happen?
Will's yeah, no, I'm not fancy enough for people to just send me things.
The backbone is the best of the new phone controller thing. Ooh. So I have a feeling you'll figure it out this weekend.
Okay, well, I've watched a few reviews on it, and I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm gonna just take the plunge and try it out. I haven't even opened it yet because I was rushing from work to get to my fantasy draft and then get back here. So, but I have that and. I'm hoping to figure out that mobile play because it's one of those things, if you don't know, Andrew, it's just like it's controllers to play mobily, but it's you kind of insert – it's for iOS only, so you if you can't mm-hmm. use an Android or something. But if you have an iPhone, you plug it in the middle, it snaps all together, and it acts as a controller that holds your phone and you play mobily.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of commercials.
Either through xCloud or remote play or something like that. Yeah.
I've seen a couple commercials for it, and I was like, ooh, that thing looks cool. So, yeah, that's an iOS thing on my iPhone that's right up my alley, so I'll try to...
Yeah. So great. I mean, I can let you know how it, you know, absolutely. My review of it.
Give me your review. Absolutely. So, Will, you finally got the backbone. Does that mean you're going to stop apologizing for everything?
Oh, definitely not.
All right.
It takes a brave man to own up to their mistakes. Nothing wrong with apologizing.
Come on, he got a backbone, you guys. Come on.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
All right, let's get into some Fallout 4 wrap-up. Let's play the feedback. We'll do the feedback first and then do our general wrap-up of Fallout 4, what we thought about the game and sort of what it means in the general Fallout oeuvre. So let's check in here with Eric. We'll go ahead and play yours first.
Hello, right. Fellow Wastelanders. Eric, a.k.a. Sulio here, and this is it. This is the last... quest in the main quest for the Institute. It's called Nuclear Family. So, yeah, I actually did this along with taking on the Brotherhood. It's like, why not? Just go ahead and do it. So, but yeah, basically, you travel back to the Institute where Father Sean is in his little, sleeping pod, and he knows that everything's done. Everything's Brotherhood's no more in the Commonwealth, and he basically just kind of says goodbye. So you talk about how much it hurts to find him only to lose him again, but he is so grateful to see his dream come to be, a dream that's taken how many years to finally become a reality, where at least in his mind he has saved the Commonwealth. I've been playing a lot of 76 lately, can you tell? So you basically just talk about how much it hurts to see him go, but it it is what it is. He said that
it is what
there
it
are
is.
treatments that will just kind of delay the inevitable, but he's just chosen to stop fighting the cancer. But yeah, that's it. So I did want to take a moment to thank Jess for kind of pushing me to be a part of this. I wasn't originally going to do it because of our move, and I just didn't know if I would have the time to put into this, but it really hasn't taken a lot of time to do this. You know, we've been taking this quest line super slowly, so it actually worked out really well, and it was really nice to go through this from a different perspective from what I played it before with the Railroad. So who knows, maybe I'll even go into the other evil side of the equation with the Brotherhood and do a Brotherhood playthrough. But yeah, that is it. So I will definitely try to be involved in the next roundtable you guys do, whether it does happen to be the whole Brotherhood of Steel story in 76, or if you do another Fallout 3 playthrough or Fallout New Vegas or whatever you guys choose to do, I will try and be involved with that as well. And until then, I will see you guys in the wasteland.
I'll be first to congratulate you, Eric, on being one of the, you know, this was our 10th, 11th roundtable now, and I know how this goes. People get super excited. We get 30 people wanting characters and sending in feedback and everything, and then people, you know, get distracted, play other games. Life happens, I understand. But, you know, few and far between do they actually make it a whole season. And goddamn, Fallout 4 was a long season indeed. So, you know, an exemplary job to you for, you know, gutting it out and actually sending in feedback the whole season long. And during the goddamn move when you took your family across half the goddamn country. So congratulations on that. You're, you know, official part of the Fallout Feed Thumbs Up Club. That's wonderful. Thank you, sir.
I feel honored. So it caught my chair squeaking at the beginning of that thing, too. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. My chair makes noise.
Mine does too. Don't sweat it.
But honestly, it went pretty quick. It doesn't seem like it's been like 4 months or however long it's been. But yeah, as I said,
six months.
Yeah, because you didn't do Minutemen.
But yeah, I mentioned in there that I wasn't even planning to do this, but Jess was messaging me in Discord. Was like, hey, are you going to be involved in this? And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to have time. So I'm going to be moving 8 hours away. But she's like, you know, just give it a shot, see what you think. Cause she probably thought that I would drop off after a few weeks also, but here
more
I am.
Intermittent, because I know you're dedicated and so, and you do your own show. So I thought you might be one of those people who send feedback every couple episodes and, you know, doesn't do the whole thing, but sticks with us through the game. And you, yeah, more, even more consistent than that for sure. But that's something I always want to make sure people know. You know, you do feedback at the beginning. If you skip a month, two, that's fine. You know, let us know about your playthrough by the end. Yeah. It's not just about the quests. It's about the whole game and it's about the community while we go through them together. And so even if you're not with us every step of the way, we love to hear from you because, you know, you are with us in that
way.
Well,
and it's nice to play things from different points of view, whether it's stats or like this was the first time I played as a female also, not just a female, but a member of the Institute, something I never thought that I would do because they're kind of the Legion of, you know, the Commonwealth. Which is something I've never gone through either.
It keeps you interested.
I never dipped him in with the Legion. Yikes.
Fair enough, Father Caesar.
Yeah, no, that works. It totally
works. Stormcloaks with Skyrim.
Oh, come on now. I mean, they're a little racist, hey, but come on now.
I always go Stormcloaks these days. I've gone through why. We don't have to get into that now, but because that's
no,
a whole
probably
other
not.
Thing.
But down with Ulfric, killer of kings. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Empire is not what they were before Uriel was murdered.
Not back. The Empire's not like when I was a young lad. Right on. Well, congratulations again, and thank you for submitting feedback all season long. That's great. Let's check in with Casey's feedback.
Fondest greetings, Fallout Feed friends and stewards. Casey the Curator here with an inaugural feedback celebrating my most recent playthrough of Fallout 4. This week's submission comes to you live from Graham's Meat Cook, though it might as well just be called a basic barbecue, as Graham is nowhere to be found.
Aww.
Speaking of barbecues, someone just threw a red hot grill at me. This is certain to make headlines.
What?
But enough about meat. Let's chat about Boston in the year 2287. I believe this season represented my fifth completed playthrough of Fallout 4 and my maiden playthrough of the Minutemen questline. My character, a spunky lass by the name of Parker, was initially rolled stats that align with my typical playstyle, that is, a sneaky sniper with a particular reliance on Lady Luck. I initially started a game with this role in mind, but made the decision sometime around the arrival at Diamond City to switch to something a little out of the ordinary for me. For the remainder of the game, I focused my energies, often to my great frustration, on fighting with a newly minted baseball bat that Parker affectionately named Bonnie. Together, Bonnie and Parker would ultimately take down Father and the Institute through a combination of brains and brawn. Certainly a great bat whack to the detonator at the end of Nuclear Option didn't hurt things either. I've never been a great fan of the Brotherhood of Steel, but we managed to keep things relatively civil in this playthrough, and thus the Pridwin remained intact at the end of Parker and Bonnie's story. Just a few notes. I played this iteration of Fallout 4 on my aging PlayStation 4. I had a true vanilla experience, so to speak. I didn't even run the unofficial patch. This, of course, nearly locked me out of any meaningful interactions with the Brotherhood of Steel due to the infamous Cambridge Police Station lockout glitch. Fortunately, my decision to change playstyles also afforded me the convenience of reloading an earlier save. Speaking of saves, it's really difficult to get back into the habit of saving frequently. Yes. It had been quite some time since I'd spent any more than a few hours in Fallout 4, and I definitely paid the price for infrequent saves on more than one occasion. I did not play much in VATS this go-around, but I can definitely appreciate the massive difference between the 76 iteration and the older games. Finally, this Melee playthrough has given me a sincere appreciation for people who play Melee on a regular basis. Good for you, you bare-arm-wielding Yaogwai slayers.
Yeah.
It's not for me. Anyhow, this concludes my first feedback. Congratulations, Clint, Andrew, Ray, and Jessica Starr on a job well done this season. Keep up the great work, and I will see y'all in the wasteland.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Wonderful feedback.
That was fantastic, great. Casey. Yeah. And thank you for that, and that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You played, you have feedback on the playthrough, and I love that just like Eric, doing a different playstyle inspired you to go all the way through for a fifth. Also, I'm going to toast you with some Vim.
Vim?
That is my birthday.
Wow!
The Moxie Fairy Moxie? Got me a case of Moxie.
No way.
That's awesome.
Which is the real world Vim analog, as most of you know. So cheers.
Can you really taste the fish?
There is no fish. This is not Captain's
get
Blend,
the Captain,
Moxie.
Get the Captain's Blend. It's
this
from
is delicious original Moxie. Like, look at the soda jerk there. Actually, he's a pharmacist telling you it's good for what else, yeah.
It gives you Moxie, kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like, if you picture Maine, like, you picture a lobster roll and a can of Moxie for some reason for me. Like,
for sure.
I associate it so much with Maine. I'm sure it's all over New England, but for some reason it's like, you know, specifically a Maine thing. So welcome to Fahaba, and good on you.
Exactly. And it is all over New England, but it is also a Maine thing. We have the Moxie Festival. You know, nice. We're really into our Moxie.
She actually, that crack you heard, everyone, was a literal can of Moxie she had. That's awesome.
So yeah, excited.
I've never heard of Moxie. So you're saying it's a real world equivalent just because of the location up there? It's up there.
Well, it's
like, it's
also
a local Maine.
That is what Vim was made after. So, you know, the word Moxie.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Vim is a reference. Yeah.
Vim and vigor. So the actual description of Moxie in the sales pitch is that gives you vim and vigor. Moxie. Yeah.
Vim is
it was the first
pitch,
canned carbonated beverage sold in the U.S.
So that's
kind of like how Red Bull says it gives you wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the reference there on the Vim. It's directly referring to Moxie.
Yep.
Fun Fallout 4 mystery fact. Good on the feedback. Thanks, Casey. Taz wrote an email. Does anyone want to pop open their email and we'll check in with Taz there?
I can do that if you like.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, starts. Greetings, fellow Wastelanders. Taz here with Leia's adventure into battle to the end of the Institute. After hearing from Sturgis about the pipe across the Institute, she brought Kate along for the battle. They slowly fought their way through a variety of maze-like pipes and tunnels, slowly getting deeper into the objective, reaching the relay room where the Minuteman assault force was relayed in. As they battled their way to the reactor, measures were taken to not injure scientists. They were soon stopped by a lockdown that was only lifted from the director's office, and Leia had soon confronted her son and convinced him to help her at least save the people here by sounding the evacuation alarms and disabling the synths. With great sadness, she left her son for the last time, making her way slowly to the reactor. After fighting a multitude of synths, the fusion device was placed on the reactor, and they soon were relayed back to the relay room. As they were preparing to leave, a small boy was found, claiming Leia was his mum. Leia decides to bring the boy along with them, and they are soon relayed to the top of the mass fusion building, where a button device was activated, pressing it triggered the explosives attached to the reactor in the Institute basement. A large fiery explosion rose from what was the ruins of CIT, and it was then the Institute was gone. After all the excitement of what happened, they all returned to the castle and then took the boy back to Sanctuary, knowing he would be safe there. On a side issue, Leia and Kate had gone to the Cambridge police station, fighting off ghouls that were attacking. After the fight, a fellow in power armor calling himself Dance rewarded Leia with a laser rifle and told her he had no further use for her. Upon entering the police station, all Brotherhood of Steel turned hostile, and Leia was forced to put down all who were both inside and outside the building, killing Dance, Scribe Halen, and Knight Reese, along with all the other Brotherhood personnel stationed there.
Huh.
This was likely due to failing the Reverie quest to assist Dance before the Battle of Bunker Hill. Leia will soon prepare to venture to Far Harbor. For those who have played both Fallout 3 and 4, they will see a number of Easter eggs carried over from 3 to 4. First was the special book used in the beginning of 3 and then found in the baby's room in the house in Fallout 4. The biggest one that will stand out as much as MacReady and Dr. Lee was the fusion device used to blow up both the bomb in Megaton as well as the reactor in Fallout 4. The button activation scene in Fallout 3 was not unlike the one view from top of Tenpenny Power blowing up Megaton, just as blowing up the Institute from atop the mass fusion building in Fallout 4. There are many others, I'm sure. Be safe all, and see you all in the wasteland.
Well, thank you so much for your feedback there, Taz. And then he actually ends on a note that sort of launches us into our next sort of conversation arc here with the show. And we're going to talk about Fallout 4 sort of in general, what its role is in the Fallout, the Fallout universe, where Fallout 3 was, where Fallout 4 took us, and where we're expecting Fallout 5 to take us in the future. So that's actually pretty smart. You see all the references connecting through. One thing he mentioned that I'm not sure if I misunderstood or is, did he say that Lil Sean, the little boy, went to the roof with him to watch the explosion?
No, I don't think so. No, okay. He went to the castle.
Okay. Okay. I thought he said because the little boy was with him. I was like, I didn't know he would go up there with you. Like, hey, I'm going to go watch you blow up my home. It'll be great.
Like, yeah. Sean definitely goes to the castle, right?
Yeah. Sturgis sends him to the castle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sturgis doesn't go up onto the roof of the mass fusion building either.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. And I always think it's.
But.
No, sorry. I always thought it was funny, anyways, that, you know, because when you first meet Sean, and you're like, Sean, is that you? I'm your mother. He's like, what? No. And he goes, run away, ratting you to father. But then all of a sudden at the end, he's like, hey, mom, or Mom, you know, dad, or whoever. Yeah, yeah. What? I'm like, your son.
Wait a second.
Now, you know.
Yeah. Might have done a bit of reprogramming of him, I think.
How convenient.
Now that I've destroyed your home, you're all of a sudden all clingy.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that he didn't mention there's a whole quest in Rivet City that has to do with sense.
Well, the replicated man.
He did say there's lots more. Yeah.
Obviously, Taz is aware of that though, because we've talked through it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I figured he was. That's
all. Yeah, there are just only so much you can put in one email, but definitely those are some those are some good comments there. You know, things you might not notice as much, like the special book and such.
Yeah. Well, and I was curious. I mean, not an Easter egg, but he just let me know. I was curious because I haven't been to the Cambridge police station yet either, and met with Dance and all them guys. And I was wondering how much of that Brotherhood stuff I was going to be able to do. So apparently none.
None. Yeah. You step in there.
You can get the Righteous Authority from Dance, and that's it. And, you know, oopsie, my bad. I didn't realize all I had to do was go inside the station to get him to go aggro on
Yeah, right? You're having trouble. You're having trouble. It's like, I killed them all. What do I do now? I'll just step in the door, dude.
And, Ray, what was the quest that you said triggered after you blew up the Institute?
Our powers combined.
The Captain Planet story.
And so... Yes. And what? Because I didn't get that. Like, and for me, when I was waiting, I was looking.
Yeah, it's one. So you have to have done old guns, nuclear option, and be aggro with the Brotherhood of Steel.
Okay, so that's I just wasn't aggro with Brotherhood yet.
And then after that, you talk to Preston, and the quest will kick off.
Okay.
After you've completed the Institute, is there then a way to go back and make it launch, or your decisions are set in stone and it's too late to kick that off if you've already completed the AKA game?
No, you have to wait until you're done with the Institute before you can start the...
Before you can...
Our powers combine.
Okay.
And if you haven't already done it, you'll have to build artillery piece in 5 different settlements.
Right. Yeah. You were speaking about that earlier.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. So let's get into some more general themes. Jess, what does Fallout 4 mean to you?
Fallout 4.
In the Pantheon, what's the word? Whatever that word
is. Yeah, Pantheon.
In
sure.
The Pantheon, as you said earlier. Like Steve Martin would say, What's Fallout 4? What are we good? Are we disappointed? Everyone loves it.
I mean,
it.
Fallout 4
it.
Is definitely good. You've heard me say before that in many ways I think while Fallout 76 has become my favorite Fallout game currently, I know that's a little taboo to say, but it's true. Fallout 4 is the pinnacle of the series in a lot of ways. Fallout 4 is a wonderful stepping stone to the future of Bethesda games and interactivity. Yes, the emergent gameplay in earlier games, especially Skyrim, is amazing. But you look at what they added with animation, with articulation of characters, with actual characterization and companions, the entire building system. So many new things were added with Fallout 4. It's a brave new wasteland, and I love it. It is not my favorite. Some days it is.
Yeah, but who cares?
It has a place.
We don't have to judge it. It's like it's great, and we like it. That's good.
And we can mod it, and it's wonderful. But yeah, no, the general theme of Fallout 4, it's really about loss and change and rebuilding and hope, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that one, you know, I've only played 4 and 76, of course. I wouldn't never say that one's better than the other in any way. They're different in their subtle ways, and you know, I liked Fallout 4 when I played it, you know, for a couple of years, and then went to 76, played it for a couple of years, came back to 4 6 months ago for this, and just really enjoying it again. So I can't say I like one better than the other.
Well, what's one thing that I love about Bethesda games in general, like both Fallout and Elder Scrolls and probably some of the other games, is that each story in the game series is completely different from the other one. Like, they don't really compare. It's like an entirely different experience in a way. So I think that's kind of one of the reasons why it takes so long for them to put out a new game in this series, is because they change so many things, whether it's mechanics or they have to come up with completely different
stories. Great to acknowledge that. One of the bigger complaints about Fallout 4 by some people when it came out is, oh, Fallout 4 is more of the same. Protectrons, oh, they still look like Protectrons. I mean, they actually did change the art a bit on some of these things.
Yeah, a lot.
But yes, a lot of the models are carried through from 3 in New Vegas to 4, just higher pixel count, all that. But of course, it's the same world. They did a lot of additions with 4. I totally agree.
Oh, yeah. And they did take a lot of some of the things from Skyrim, like the loading screens and like the way you can play with the loading screens a bit, and how you can kind of move the camera around when you're in a conversation, and how things still happen when you're in a conversation, unlike Fallout 3, New Vegas, and Oblivion, where time just kind of stopped.
Yeah. Vats too.
But,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Vats. That's why one of the reasons why I never get tired of these games is you can, I don't know, pick up a different one and this, you know, it's a little, you know, quite a bit different than the one before it or after it.
Yeah.
It's a completely different experience.
One of the prerequisites I feel like about having a true, real appreciation of the Fallout series or Elder Scrolls or anything like that is experiencing them in sequence as they come out and getting in on the game early on. Because I have unfair, and I realize it's unfair, I have unfair biases against Fallout 3 just because I feel it's clunky, the green skies, blah, blah, blah. But anyone who experienced that game as it came out in time, I understand, like, it's just like with a band. Like, you discover a band, the first album you hear of them is most likely, if it's not going to be your favorite album by that band, it's going to hold a special damn place in your heart because you it's your favorite thing there for a while, or it caused you to discover the thing. So, of course, the people who played Fallout 3 before Fallout 4 get, like, that special sort of twist. Like, they can see Fallout 3 in the special light that I can't see it because I played Fallout 4 first. You know what I mean? I just see the deficiencies, not the majestics about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because all of them in their time when they, you know, when they came out were, you know, very, you know, forward games. They were, you know, they broke new ground in a lot of ways.
Right.
It's just that, you know, everything has moved so far beyond that. Now, when you go back, it seems like, you know, they're not that good, but at the time they were spectacular.
But
right,
still,
and such their own thing. I mean, Bethesda, the way that they build worlds with everything interactable, everything having its own definition and ID. I mean, it's really different. I would say, Fallout 4 and 76, like graphically, you can say, yeah, the engine's showing its age. You know, Skyrim was going to be the last time that people played a Bethesda game were like, whoa, this looks amazing. And I mean, let's be fair, Oblivion, people made fun of the faces. Fallout 3, most of these weren't breaking ground visually, but in most every other aspect they were.
Absolutely.
And if you played on PC, visually too sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, Fallout 4, you know, is magic because it's just so, you know, infinitely replayable for me. You do a lot of the same quests, you interact with the same people, but it's built in such a way that I can play differently, and you know, no matter what. And you know, because it's a single player game, you know, there's no limit to the builds I can do. You know, I can do really silly things that, you know, that just won't, you know, they won't work unless you can mold the game around it. And, you know, that's what really keeps me in Fallout 4, and, you know, is also what, you know, instantly endeared me to Skyrim.
Even though you don't like fantasies, you roll your eyes at magicians and dragons, huh, right? Yeah, but yeah. It's the game but itself, yeah, the bones. Yeah,
because it just, it's a, you know, it is a sandbox. You jump in and do whatever you want to. And, you know,
just be careful not to get caught with certain things.
Well, but there's, you know, there's almost always a way around it. Especially, you know, when you're a PC gamer and, you know, there's a mod for that.
Yep. Or you finish the Thieves Guild.
Ray, you played them in order. You did 3, you did 4, you did New Vegas, you played all those games. Like, so what is your judgment of the series, and like where do you expect Fallout 5? What are we just gonna be building cities by that point?
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I typically don't spend a lot of time speculating on things.
Yeah, there's really no point because it's never right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I would just rather that they surprise me.
It's actually going to be in space.
Yeah.
That's why they're delaying it.
It's called Starfield, yeah. Right?
Yeah, they're calling it Starfield, I think, but it'll actually be Fallout 5. Yeah.
Oh, what if that was a secret code?
And we'll see.
Ghouls in space.
You know, the more time I spend in No Man's Sky, the more afraid I am of Starfield. I'm trying to not
explain that.
Are you worried that it won't live up? Yeah, or you're worried that it will?
Yeah,
be
that
too
it
good?
Just is not going to be as, you know, as epic.
Well, just because it takes place in a similar environment doesn't mean that the two games have to be comparable.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no. It's like, oh, that's. I play other shooter games too, but I wouldn't consider Fallout like a. You know, come on, it's its own thing. So
they'll have different stories for sure.
Starfield, I guarantee you, will not be nearly as satisfying as the flight and stuff in No Man's Sky, because they've got that shit down to a science already. And you know how Bethesda do Bethesda. So it'll probably be clunky in some fashion compared to what you would like, but it'll be magical in other ways, Ray. And we will love it for what it is, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I mean, it's got to be more than what it was in The Outer Worlds, where you just like, okay, well, I'm going to this planet or whatever, and then like, well, you're there.
I mean, it may end up being a similar size. It may be a similar size, but a lot more involved, like a lot larger scale for, say, a small system like Outer Worlds, you know, which has, what, 4 planets, a couple of stations, and a moon. If Starfield is that size, but on a larger scale, whereas each planet feels like a Skyrim or larger, then that could be interesting.
What I meant though is that you don't actually experience the flying part.
Oh,
you just kind of tell the ship where you want to go, and then you're there.
Take off and land.
Don't actually have to do the flight. Okay.
Yeah. Flying part pretty boring.
You were saying.
I mean, they showed the I was going to say, except they've showed like the instrument panel and all that in the ships, right? And like, There seems to be a lot of controls that you can possibly manipulate in the ship from some of the screenshots.
There was a comment that I think some people took out of context, because when describing the game and talking about what we were watching during that trailer, they did say, you know, and every knob does something. Every knob has a purpose. They were actually talking about how the people creating the game knew what each one was there for. Right. Not that you as a player are going to get in there and flip all the knobs. This is not Microsoft Flight Starfield Simulator, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, and I remember that, but I may be misremembering. I almost think like they had some dials that kind of indicated it might require user interaction, like whether it was some kind of thruster. I don't know.
I think optionally. I bet.
Not speak about what I don't know about.
Yeah, well, we don't know. It is all speculation, but it's very cool speculation. Yeah, I expect we'll fly some. I don't know how much. I know vehicles and the creation engine have been really problematic up to this point, but this is, you know, 2.0. We'll see.
Well, yeah. Shoot, I mean, we don't really have any kind of vehicles, right? And like for anything, no fault. Yeah. So.
Will you be walking in space?
They have a wagon, maybe, and follow, I mean, Skyrim, but not really, because you just, it's still just fast travel.
Hey, will you play the past Fallout games? You play them in progressive order from 3 to New Vegas to 4, like that?
Yes, and I'm one of the, you know, I guess, outliers, whereas 4 is my favorite. Like, I do like it more than the nostalgia of 3 and 4, New Vegas, which... love them. You know, I've been on the show and I told about my little embarrassing experience, you know, discovering Fallout 3 on Thanksgiving Day, way back, but in just how just magical it was. I still, you know, I just think about that was ended up just being such a wonderful day, but it's still something about Fallout 4. It captured me in different ways. I mean, just because I think the interactions with the NPCs had a lot more depth, and you know, and the companions, it seemed like there was more, and they, you know, they had the, you could romance them and things like that. And you know, introducing the building aspect in 4 was a huge thing too, because I remember that was like my Sunday morning thing.
Sunday morning brings the dawn in.
Like, I would wake up Sunday morning and that was building time. I wasn't quite awake yet. I you know, I didn't have the brain capacity to go shoot things or do quests. And I would just kind of meander away, you know, just building the camps. And I remember my son, he was like, he couldn't understand it. He thought it was so boring. And I was like, you know, Parker, just pretend I'm an old lady on the front porch knitting. This is my knitting. It's soothing and it relaxes me.
I mean, that's
like fishing.
It's adult Legos. That's what building a Fallout is to me, at least. It's adult Lego. I get the same sort of like phased out, zoned out sort of like, and like just building for, and then yeah. 2 hours went by. Oh gosh, I have a neat little structure here. Yeah, yeah, it's Legos for adults.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating and relaxing, which, you know, sounds contradictory,
but
it is.
Yeah, oh my gosh, so frustrating at times.
Where I don't want you to.
yeah, but you know, the thing is, oh my gosh, and at least that's the one thing about Fallout 4, you know, you something don't work out right or you make a mistake, you have like a save or something you can go back to, whereas sometimes, you know, in 76, I've done something wrong, and I go, geez, great, this sucks. I have to just... Yeah. Wipe this entire structure or something, you know, you can try something, but you know, there's a little bit more time involved with it. Yeah. And I just like the overall, what Eric was saying about how all the games kind of have like a different, I don't know if he's saying feel exactly, but they are all kind of very different. They all have wonderful vibes, and that's kind of, the vibe, the tenor of Fallout 4 to me, it was just something that I love. That's like when we came back into the season and you started playing, it's just like, man, this is so comforting. It's like home again, and it feels really good. And I remember there for a while I had, you know, over 1,000 hours in Fallout 4. And I was like, okay, well, start playing other games. And I was playing Witcher 3. And I loved Witcher 3, one of my favorite games. But I would go to play Witcher 3 in the evening, or so I would get home from work. But what I would do is I would start up Fallout 4, and I would just go shoot some super mutants or something at Breakheart Banks. Just something to get the feeling of Fallout. And I was like, yeah, okay, that felt good. Now I can go play Witcher, you know.
It's one of those things that keeps us coming back to 76. It's like coming home. I mean, at the times when there's not much content, we go there to see our friends and to get that Fallout feeling, even if it's just, you know, repetitive grinding at times.
Yep.
One of the things I jotted down here, because we've mentioned Dance numerous times over this episode, and he just sort of represents to me one of the best things about Fallout 4 is just the drastically different experience that you can get. Because, Ray, you don't know. This is just some fucking dude in power armor who's in your way. Jess had a whole experience of this guy coming to a revelation of his true self and like what he's coming to terms with his body. Like there's this whole journey that, you know, you just blip, didn't even notice because you killed him in a blink of an eye because the quest told you to do so. But it just flushes. There's just like so many angles and different things in the game that depending on how you play the game, you will experience a totally different world each time. It's like, Ray, you don't know anything about dance. He's fucking dead to you. But Jess basically went through a self journey with the dude. You know?
Yeah, he was the biggest influence on my character in the game until Maxon kind of became a bigger influence.
But that wasn't as appreciated.
No.
I like how Fallout 4 did kind of expand on that. Because with Fallout 3 and, you know, to a little, you know, kind of an extent, New Vegas also, you did have a couple of ways that you can go about things. I think more so in New Vegas than in Fallout 3. But, you know, in Fallout 4, you can take this however many ways you want to, even in the same story or in the same like faction, you can take things, you know, in other ways that you didn't in previous playthroughs. So.
Yeah, it's probably not a surprise to anybody, but in the new character that I just spun up, the line I got from Preston was, "Oh, what? You're just going to leave?"
Oh, we're back to that old chestnut, are we?
Yes, I am, Preston.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good to play in your comfortable, you know, your comfort zone. That's where you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So in your questions here, Andrew, you started with general themes. You also had new observations, new things people might have discovered in this playthrough they hadn't seen before or thought about before.
I was really interested in asking specifically Clint this because it was 2 hours, or not 2 hours, 2 years since he played Fallout 4, and then he played like four simultaneous characters at the same time. So like he probably got a real like good angle about, oh gosh, I didn't see that before. Oh, that's cool. But I never know, you know, what are those sort of things that, oh, holy cow, that's kind of neat. I never noticed that before in Fallout 4.
Yeah, it wasn't that much difference between them, you know, the four characters, because they were all doing Railroad.
Yeah.
And that's one that I had done several times before. Generally when I'm doing playthroughs, it'll either be Railroad or Minutemen. The good guys, as opposed to the two evil ones. But there wasn't anything really new that I can think of that I discovered this time.
One thing that I discovered via your playthrough that was new to me was like the whole Prydwen thing. If you exit the wrong way out of Fort Hagen and then you don't get the Prydwen, and that causes issues later on. Like I'd never known about that thing before, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've noticed since it's written in the wiki, but and I did try this week. I probably knew it wouldn't work, but I tried going back to a save from there, and coming out the correct door, and then going back to a more recent save. No, it doesn't work.
No, of course not.
Yeah, and I tried re-specking, like using the console to redo reunions, and it made no difference. The Prydwen never showed up.
Mm.
So the only thing I did do is that one of the characters a couple of weeks back, I just went back to reunions, did it again, and she's off, you know, doing the show again.
Well,
but it's well, how far from the Prydwen to you know, when you're actually near the end of the game, when you go out there to put the bombs on it. So it's a long way.
Nice. How about you, Ray? Did you learn anything new about dipping your toe into? I mean, you're someone who started the game 200 times easily, so I don't know if they sneak anything by you anymore, but did you have any new observations this time through?
Well, I mean, certainly that last quest, you know, was one.
Oh,
that
right. That's the first
before.
Time you did that. Right. Okay.
But this is the first time that I've done the Minutemen with the We Are the Minutemen mod.
Okay.
And, you know, that made it a lot more palatable to me. So you know, that was cool. I did like coming across that, and that would actually, you know, make it so that I could possibly do another Minutemen character.
Nice. God bless the Minutemen, Ray. We all know they win the popularity contest online.
Yeah. Yeah. The Minutemen are really great when the general is in control.
Yes. Not when he's dead, though. Always got to have a good general, Ray. Jess, new observations this time through? Anything popped to mind?
The biggest thing that popped to mind were the animations, like I mentioned. I hadn't really thought about how many custom scripts there were in this game, but going through, talking to characters, seeing them, not just their pathing during the day, which you know, you saw in Skyrim and some of the other games, they've gotten more and more complex, more and more dynamic. You know, nighttime they go to bed, daytime they wake up, but the amount of places they can go, the paths they walk, but scripts for events, following characters on quests, talking to Piper outside Diamond City, watching those animations, I'm like, wow, there was a lot of scripting and love for individual characters and just individual moments in this game. You know, that amazing moment that Clint skipped over with the Pridwin coming in. You know, there are just a lot of set piece moments that required a lot of specialized scripting because these aren't just cutscenes. These aren't just video cutscenes like in so many games. This is world objects performing for you. You're watching a play with, you know, individual pieces and characters that each have their own ID and you can actually interact with normally, but now they're doing these things. So that was a big observation for me.
Right on. Eric, anything new this time through?
Well, I've only finished the game one other time. I came to Fallout 4 pretty late. So I finished with the Railroad the last time I played. And it was a male character. So this character is like the complete opposite of that character. So it's nice seeing the different ending compared to the Railroad ending. And the way this character was laid out, I had to be mostly melee as opposed to gun because I started out with like one perception. So, I mean, this playthrough has been completely different than the one that I'd done before. Yeah. So it's nice that things like that exist in this game. That, I mean, you play a completely different way, you'll get a completely different ending.
Bunch of different
endings, another character.
One thing that caused super outrage when Fallout 4 came out, and then, like, I haven't heard one spit from any of you about is the voiced protagonist here. Like your character has a voice. That was a huge outrage when the game came out. No one has mentioned it yet.
Not a new observation, right? I've seen that from the first time we played.
Yeah, I didn't mean like as a new observation. I just meant like that was an outrage when this game first came out, yet no one cares about it now. So it didn't, did it affect anybody's experience? Did it ruin your play, Ray, when the first time you played through and you're like, oh, this isn't Fallout? I mean,
there's a lot of reactions like that that I just don't give a crap about.
Yeah, exactly.
Retired gamer, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because it's something that a lot of people have been asking for years. And then they do it and like, okay, this sucks. Don't ever do this again. It's the same with like multiplayer games in these series with like Elder Scrolls and Fallout. People had been wanting multiplayer for years and then they're like, hey, we're going to do this. And then they crap all over it.
Everyone hates it. Right.
I mean, it's the best selling Fallout game by far ever.
Yep.
It sold more than the other Fallout games combined. No, maybe not. Fallout 3. Looking stuff up, Fallout 3 was around, I think, 12 million or so, and Fallout 4 has hit 13 to 14 million. So only a little more than Fallout 3. But it's after Skyrim, Bethesda's best-selling game. And at the time, I think in the first year, maybe their fastest-selling game.
Well, there's 8 different versions of Skyrim, and there's only two, Fallout 4 so far. So,
yeah. Well, I never really understood that when people would say like they felt like it took away their freedom of their character, that they were, you know, like that it wasn't the same backstory, like it was less of an open sandbox somehow with the voice protagonist. Because I was like, I don't know. I didn't get it. I don't know. It's like, I don't know what you mean. Like, I feel like you totally can. It's like they have a voice that's the only difference. It could still be male or female. You make your own back character. Like,
well, I mean, if you go back to Morrowind, I mean, there's 10 times as much dialogue. It just happens to be the same, you know, 10 questions you can ask every single person in Vivid.
Right. Can I have a little rumor? Or...
You can add more writing. I mean, that is the thing. The voice protagonist took away the depth to some of the dialogue trees. Not necessarily the depth of the story, but the depth of the dialogue trees.
Which, and that'll probably be like, you know, you were going to get to at some point, what do we think about Fallout 5? That'll probably be one of the, a big factor is.
Do you foresee that?
Those trees, the dialogue trees will be.
Well,
do you foresee a voice protagonist going forward, you guys? is that stuck with us now?
One of my favorite mods is, one that allows you to change the pitch of the voice. So it you know, you can change it so that it doesn't sound like the same voice every single time.
Oh, that's nice. That is pretty cool. I thought you were going to say you have like Beaker from the Muppets running around.
You can make it sound pretty weird because there, you know, it, like every other mod, it goes to the extremes.
Sean, oh no.
Exactly.
But you know, the other one is the one that shows you the entire dialogue. You know, it was very frustrating, you know, before that mod, when, you know, you'd get, you know, the NPC would go through this big long thing, and then you're, you know, sarcastic.
Yeah, that was your problem.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, so you have no idea what it is that you were going to say.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I always hated, like, that is one thing. Like, you think you're going to say something. It's like, well, this is the answer that makes sense to me. But because they've, like, have it shortened to 5 words and then they spit out some line, it's like, that is not at all what I would have wanted to say.
No, not at all. It's pretty bad sometimes. At the same time, I uninstalled the full dialogue mod because as cool it is to know what you're actually going to say in those circumstances, it messes with other mods a little bit. And I kind of enjoy the dialogue wheel. I went back to it for this playthrough.
Mm. Yeah,
I found fun with the dialogue wheel is pressing the, it's the right button for me. And your character will always say something snarky. Mm-hmm. Which the NPC doesn't hear, of course, you know. It's often just blah, 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 blah. And if you move the vision around to the front, yeah, they're mouthing, you know, the character's mouthing blah, 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 you know, while father's talking to her about something serious. It's just, it was always fun.
Jerry did have a few thoughts on Fallout 4 he sent our way. He said, my thoughts on Fallout 4, there was improved shooting mechanics, and bringing mods to the consoles was huge. And he also brings up here the controversial voice actor. That was a big difference. His main negative is when you start on the map, it really limits your options. If not using a startup mod like Elder Scrolls or other Fallout. So he's saying, like, yeah, your background is sort of narrowed.
Well,
so
also starting in the middle. He's talking about the background. Yeah. But he's also talking about the physical map.
He doesn't like where you start up in the corner, I guess.
Exactly. Vault 101, you go any direction. Mm-hmm. You know, a number of the other games, Helgen, you go any direction. Like, this is very much a thing in most Fallouts. Good Springs, you can go north to New Vegas, or you can take the prescribed route. But in Sanctuary, upper left-hand corner, and slowly spreading across the map. And it did feel a little more limiting. Your initial path with the Minutemen, if you choose to accept them, you know, you're going to go to Corvega, you're going to go to Ten Pines, you're going, you know, you're going to do the quest in the corner and then branch from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks for your thoughts there, Jerry. Anybody have any general thoughts on the progression of the story? Is the Minutemen's? I know we sort of talked about it, but the Minutemen are the most popular answer when most people say what's going to go forward. Like, but you know, the Institute can't be the one going forward because that means in the future everything's going to be a synth, so that we can't have them, you know.
The Ken poll in Iguanabits, but let's do it right now because that is what the Ken poll was about. Theme.
Yeah, let's pull that up. I don't have it up, so let's can you help
I
us
am
cover
grabbing
that up?
It now. Just 1 second.
Let's check in with the Ken poll. I didn't see an email from Kenny this time, though, so it must just be
a reminder, so I made sure to add him to the notes.
All right,
honestly, this was a great Ken poll. It started last time during the show, right at the end, and this is the most response we ever had. So we broke 200 votes on this one.
Whoa, nice. Wow.
So great job, Kenny. Well done question. So his question was, it's Ken poll time. The roundtable is in its final week, wrapping up Fallout 4's main quest. By the way, I do have the voice mod off, right? I'm not still sounding like a weirdo.
Yeah, you sound like Beaker still.
Okay. Wrapping up Fallout 4's main quest, what faction do you think will have the more official canon ending? So, i.e., going forward, when the events of Fallout 4 are referred to, or Bethesda uses them as canon in Fallout 5 or future iterations of the game, what will be the canon ending? So the options were Brotherhood of Steel as the path, the Institute, the Minutemen, or the Railroad. So here's the results. The Minutemen were the most common answer as the official canon ending at 49%. So roughly half of people felt that the Minutemen are canon, which obviously there are a lot of arguments for that. We can get into it in just a minute. The next most popular, which surprised me a little bit, was Brotherhood of Steel at 28%.
Yeah.
So a little over a quarter of people say Brotherhood of Steel. And the main reason for that, from what I can tell, is because they are such a well-known faction. It makes sense they would continue to dominate and establish themselves as like the East Coast force. Mm-hmm. So we got that. Then at 12.5%, we have the Institute. And at 10%, the Railroad. So Railroad, least likely to be canon going forward.
That's the part that blew my mind, was Institute didn't come
over
last.
Railroad, yeah.
Like, what?
They're roughly equal. But yeah, Institute came in ahead. And maybe some people voted based on this is the path I took. Yeah. Or maybe they said, you know what? A Commonwealth controlled by the Institute would provide some interesting fodder for storytelling. What if synth technology is more prevalent? What if the Institute is running the Commonwealth, at least to an extent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get that. That makes sense. So yeah.
I imagine Fallout 5 won't be in the Commonwealth, though, will it?
Probably not.
Most likely not.
They switch locations every time.
It'll be New Orleans if you listen to fucking Reddit.
Well, Reddit thought every Fallout has been going to be in New Orleans since 3.
I think people just
that is just the way.
It's just that the especially the Railroad and probably the Institute seem to be more specific to the Commonwealth. The Minutemen. Yeah. A little bit, and that's why I voted for Brotherhood of Steel might be the next one, because they're countrywide, at least.
Yeah, they're all over the place
so far.
So that's what I would have voted. Like, I saw the poll. This is the first time I've seen one, and I was so like perplexed or something that I couldn't answer, which, you know, you were saying it got the most responses, but I went through it and I was like, which one would they consider canon? Like, I was trying to answer the question the way
he not the one
it.
I want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
right And so to me, I was like, man, I think the most likely one is Brotherhood, but I just can't say it. I can't answer Brotherhood.
Yeah,
The thing for me was that the Brotherhood already is. The
right.
Brotherhood is already in every single game.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure, but is there a path as far as final victory? Was it the Brotherhood who destroyed the Institute and dominated the Commonwealth or one of the other factions? And I like the idea of, I think the biggest reason for the Minutemen is that it leaves all paths open. So look at it from a storytelling perspective. If Bethesda wants to have whatever they want to happen out of the Commonwealth or be referred to, by having the Minutemen win, we've got a strong Commonwealth populace, but there can be still stories. Maybe Maxon ultimately left and went back, so he wasn't killed, you know? And so you've still got a Arthur Maxon in DC. What if, you know, the Institute was destroyed, but the Railroad wasn't, and so there's a larger number of synths, you know, than there would be otherwise in there. So I think that's why people chose the Minutemen, because it's the most open.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is the one that you can, you know, come away at the end of the game with the most people still alive.
Yeah, unless you decide to pick a fight with Reese and, you know, take down the Pridwin and stuff just for fun.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, is that one of the big differences in Fallout 4? In Fallout 3, what were your options, you know, sort of faction wise, you couldn't like side with the Enclave, right?
There was only one.
Mm-hmm. You could, okay. And in New Vegas, you could. You could choose between the Legion and you know, this, that. And there's
the NCR.
There were four different ways you can go about in New Vegas.
Yeah, so New Vegas really started branching out. But one of my favorite things, and this whole, the whole world of Fallout, one of my absolute favorite things is there's a huge throng of people out there who are very loud in their support of New Vegas being the best Fallout game ever. And at the same time, Bethesda won't ever fucking bring up New Vegas in a breath during any presentation or paper. It's like that it doesn't exist.
No, not at all.
It doesn't exist to Bethesda. That game didn't happen, you guys.
For it's Fallout awful. First, we got three versions of that Ranger uniform, dude.
Yes, you're right.
That's true.
Was it only three?
Like I said, that was an underhanded way for them to make New Vegas less cool. They're like, you know what? Love this outfit so much. Yeah. Let's give them so much of it. They're sick of it.
Yeah, we'll make them hate this outfit. There you go.
Yeah, it's now the mbop of outfits.
Exactly.
Way too much.
Yeah. So the faction branching, I thought that was sort of fun, but I guess New Vegas did sort of start doing that too. So, but you had to side with the Brotherhood in three, huh? Well, that sucks.
I think the Railroad is the next best option after Minutemen.
Yeah. Okay.
And here's why. As possibly the weakest faction, but one that still had an effect, they would be a neat choice, because even if they did win and the Brotherhood and the Commonwealth was killed or expelled, while that would weaken the DC Brotherhood, we know that not everybody was on the ship. You know, they still, the East Coast Brotherhood still has a strong foothold. You know, they still have the Citadel. They've brought the outcasts back into the fold. So there's still plenty of room for East Coast Brotherhood to happen. You're just not going to have Maxon in that offshoot. Mm-hmm. So that's easy enough to explain, you know, that Brotherhood can still be in any future story on the East Coast as well as anywhere else. The Institute is still destroyed, but you have more synths surviving because the Railroad helped evacuate all the synths and made that go on. So there can still be a larger synth presence while not having to go with the Institute being dominant, which allows Commonwealth society to thrive as we know it. So that's my reasoning there.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I like that.
Yeah. I can see that.
You can have synths without the... The synths make sense.
Oh, there can still be a lot of synths in the world. I mean, and that could be part of the story. I was a synth made by the Institute back when... and there's no more of me coming because the Institute's been destroyed.
Yeah.
How is that a railway thing, though?
On the railroad. Storyline, you free a large number of synths. You know, before you destroy the Institute.
That's going to be the
total number, and
that's going to be the basic.
See, I was looking at it as the railroad, you know, had, you know, Desdemona and all those, you know, continuing on. But that's not what you're quite meaning. You're meaning the synths are going on. The railroad as an organization has come to an end.
They essentially they ran themselves out of a job.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were so successful they got nothing to do now.
Yep.
Hey, Minuteman, what are you doing?
You kind of wonder where the gorillas ended up.
Shot them.
Or in your camp.
I did everything I could to keep those poor gorillas alive. It just wouldn't happen.
Wolf's defending the gorilla. Stay away! My gorilla, get away! The
dog meat, and you know what? I should have brought this up when you're talking about my gameplay. Dog meat is savage. Like, I was going through the Institute, and y'all were talking about the scientists running away and hiding in their corners and all that. Nobody was shooting them, but dog meat all over the place, killing every little innocent a scientist. She's like, stop, dog meat, what are you doing? But she had like bloodlust or war fever or whatever it is. Battle fever.
And just, I had a mod to make dog meat a little tougher also.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was funny because she killed everyone. Finally, I got to the point, I was like, all right, dog meat, stay. You can't come with me anymore. Except that was when I got to the last room and I go into the gang and there were no more like scientists anyways or whatever. It's like, oh well, okay. So when we're up there on the rooftop, Preston goes, oh, did you sound the alarm or whatever, you know, or issue the evacuation order so everyone could get out. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'm like, oh yeah, I did it. I did, but I'm thinking to myself, nobody got out there. Dog meat killed them all.
You see, dog meat, all that blood around his, the scruff around his face. Yeah, everyone got out fine.
All right. The fun thing is, if you keep playing the Minutemen after that ending, and if you didn't press the button and when you know you answer no to Preston, he's against you from then on.
Oh, Preston turns on you.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he doesn't. Every time you go to him, he calls you a murderer. But if you do the right thing and that, you'd never see any institute scientists anywhere in the world.
Nope, they're all gone.
So they got out, but where'd they go? They all ran away. Somebody must have.
I meant to mention that after, you know, finishing, you know, siding with the Institute, I did go back to Preston because he was supposed to be my main follower. But after I started really working on the mechanist quests, I had Ada with me along with Dogmeat. So I did go back and check in with Preston, and he's like, "You sure you made the right call?" Okay, then fine. And he didn't really seem to have much of an issue with me siding with the Institute. Now, I haven't found Piper yet. I'm trying to find Piper. Piper should be at the settlement, but I haven't seen her yet. So
she puts out a news article on it. So I won't tell you. Have a read. It's good.
But yeah, I have done a couple of the Minutemen quests after finishing, you know, with the Institute, you know, and had Preston with me. So, I mean, he's fine. So he was just like, okay, well, as long as you're sure you made the right call, whatever.
Yep.
And I can update to something else we had talked about earlier in the season when I was on the show and we talked about it. And I was like, am I locked out from ever helping Virgil? You know, because I had gone into the Institute the first time and I told Father I couldn't help him. Couldn't be part of it, and I got kicked out just right away, and I couldn't go look for Virgil's serum. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, when you go see him at the end too, he's the one that kicked me out. But he's like, "Oh, here you are after casting me aside." I was like, "No, you kicked me out.
You cast me aside, motherfucker. What are you talking about?"
Yeah, but anyway, so when I went back in when we infiltrated the Institute, I looked all around. I didn't have any questions, but I was able to find Virgil's serum, and the little thing popped up to say I can go bring it to nice. Virgil now.
Nice.
So.
Good call.
Hmm. Okay.
That's fun. My general opinion on the Ken poll here is that it doesn't matter because in Fallout 5, there will still be a faction of the Brotherhood, but it won't be the same one. It'll be a different faction, and they'll make some sort of reference. Oh, this is the granddaughter of Elder Lyons or something. So we'll have... That'll be referred to in Fallout 3. And then there'll be some old hobo in a town who talks about, oh, I was in the remnants of the Institute. And there'll be someone who, off in another town, was like, oh, we are the faction of the railroad who escaped the bombing at the end. You know, there'll just be little references to it, and it won't actually matter. They'll just sprinkle in references to the past, and they won't actually reveal at all who actually won in the story. The next step of the story, they won't actually reveal what happened in the previous. They'll just be remnants of the story around as reference.
So it's kind of like the hint at all things,
So it's kind of like the guy in Skyrim who's a descendant of a Mythic Dawn member.
Yeah, exactly. Oblivion. You'll see fingerprints all over the place, but they won't actually say anything. That would be my opinion of what is actually going to happen. It's with the poll, I think my vote personally is, of course, the Minutemen are going to be your good guys and will be going on. But they were introduced in Fallout 4, so I don't know. Do they introduce a faction in the game and then continue it on to future games? Or the Railroad and the Minutemen, they're just going to be to the wayside now and only be referred to in like historical documents on terminals and stuff at that point, you know? Who knows if they'll be around?
It might depend on the time between, you know, when this happened and when the next series, you know, when 5 comes out, what time is it 200 more years in the future?
Exactly. Are we going backward in time? Are we going forward in time? Are we going to the day in Alaska? Is the whole game going to be about the bomb day in Alaska? You know, it's like, what are we doing? We don't know when this game's going to be.
Yep.
Could be Fallout 5 the day it happened, you know, like, who knows? Like Ray said, there's zero point in trying to prognosticate and what's
could be leading up to it. You can try any faction you like, and no matter what you do, the world goes. Yeah. But you can try not to.
My opinion is it probably doesn't matter which faction wins in the story because they won't set anything in stone.
It'll be briefly addressed at most. Yeah. References maybe. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, those references, like Taz was talking about, you know, from 3 to 4, they'll all be there.
Yeah.
Man, I love this game, and I'm so glad we played it. Yeah. But you know game I like?
Which one?
Scream at your phone.
Let's do it.
Except Will was going to interrupt the segue, so Will, what's up?
Oh, shoot, I forgot. I am so sorry. I don't even remember what I was going to say now. Actually, I do remember.
Will?
I was going to say, I liked what you were saying, Andrew, whereas they may just not ever even address like a canon ending, because that had never occurred to me. I was almost wondering, like, if you had never played Fallout 4, like if Fallout 5 came, if it was going to be one of those things where, like, if you played Witcher 3 and you never played Witcher 2, they may ask you a couple of questions, like, what did you choose for this or that? Right. Maybe answer a couple of questions.
Mass Effect is the same way, right? Yeah,
very much so. Yeah, even to a much greater extent, but Witcher is a continuation as well.
Sorry, I ruined your segue.
Haven't all the Fallouts been standalone?
Yeah.
Yep, so far.
Yeah. Right. So that's my prediction. They continue doing that. It'll continue to be a standalone and just loosely referenced. You'll see a scientist maybe from the Institute who got away. You just ask, where'd all those Institute scientists go from the Institute? Well, one of them will pop up in the next game, just like Dr. Lee did from Fallout 3 to Fallout 4. You know,
if Dog Meat or my Brotherhood friends didn't kill them all.
If motherfucking Dr. Lee pops up again. Dr. Lee's going to be in Fallout 5, you guys. That's my bold prediction.
You're
going
to see definitely kill Dr. Lee. No.
She was such a bee. Like, I could not believe how harsh she was. Like, I was even friendly to Grubach. I didn't, like, take the harassment intimidation route. But no, she's just like, yeah, we're just not going to get along. Get out of my face. I mean, I could not believe how rude she was.
She is terrible. Not a good friend, Dr. Lee. All right, let's play some Scream at
You
Your
Knew My
phone.
Dad.
All right, guys, we're closing up Fallout 4, so I've got a Fallout 4 themed one here. And if you paid attention to season of the round table, you will know that we went and collected a bunch of bobbleheads. As we close out Fallout 4, guys, I have a list of 20. I want you to tell me our most iconic symbol from the Fallout series. Name me the bobbleheads from Fallout 4. Not 76. There are 20 of them in 4.
76.
So let's go. Let's see. I'm going to have Clint. I'm going to have Ray. I'm going to have Jess. I'm going to have Eric. I'm going to have Will. That's the order we will go in. Clint, you have the honor, sir.
Oh, thank you. Strength.
Strength is our first bobblehead. Anyone want to take wagers out there? Are we going to get all 20 of them? It's like just like last week, if you guys listened to the show, I really liked it when they got all of them. I was like, yeah, good job, you guys. So let's take wagers.
That's what we love. Yes, we love being successful.
Right.
I'm going to be very disappointed if we don't. I have 1,300 bobbleheads in one of my camps. Yeah. 76.
But they're not the same, Will. They're not the same.
They're not the same? Oh, well, gosh.
Mostly the same.
Yeah, I know.
They're most, they follow a theme.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I'm going to, I will get wrong. No, I know the 76 ones. Okay.
Yeah. Will's going to be out on the first ones to be like, yeah. Ray, sir, you are up.
Perception.
Perception is there. And next, we have Jess.
Endurance.
And first seven are going to be easy.
We're going out around
S-P-E.
Don't mess it up, you guys.
Don't tip them off, you guys.
Oh.
Eric.
Luck.
That's good hilarious. I love that. Will, you're up, sir. Can you spell
charisma?
Do we get out of order? Can you spell that? It's like, oh,
yeah, wait. I don't think I'm going to get back in.
F. No, there's no F.
Yeah. Yeah, charisma.
Charisma is on the board. Clint, back to you.
All right, we've got intelligence.
Intelligence is there. Ray, to you, sir.
Agility.
Agility is on the board. Jess, over to you.
Don't say luck, Jess. Don't say luck.
And that spells Spelkia.
Spelkia.
How are you going to distribute your attribute points into your attribute points into Spelkia.
Spelaklia, exactly. It's the new Italian Fallout. Spelaklia. All right.
I'll go with another L. Let's do lockpick.
Lockpicking is there, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And next is Eric.
Science.
Science is on the board. See, that is a tricky one. She went lockpicking, and I immediately, on even writing out the list, I didn't look at what it's called. I just wrote down hacking immediately. That is science. Science in Fallout 4. There is no hacking. Because you automatically think the counterpart to lockpicking is hacking, but
sure.
It's called the science one. Will.
Oh, wait, is it me?
Wait, didn't you just say science, Eric?
Yes.
Will.
You did. Okay, energy.
Like sort of in
is that 76?
And then
energy what?
Do you mean like in a new age kind of way, like feeling the sun and like, you know, feeling
like Red Bull
orbs and stuff?
There's another word. That's only half of it.
Oh, is it energy weapons?
Energy weapons on the board. Thank you, Will. Ding, ding, ding. Sorry, I'm being a jerk. Clint.
Was weapons big guns?
Big guns is there, right?
Yep.
Barter.
I know.
Barter's also there. Absolutely. Jess, we're getting down to it now, guys.
Small guns.
Small guns is also there. Eric is up.
Is melee one?
Melee is absolutely one. Will.
I'm stuck. I'm out.
Are you kidding me? The man of 7 million bobbleheads?
I know.
All right. I might rope back in. If you think of one next round, I might rope you back in. Clint, back to you then.
Explosives.
Absolutely, explosives. Ray.
I'm starting to lose track. Mm-hmm. Has anybody said repair yet?
No, that would be the last one I would have said. Good job on the poll.
Good one.
Good repair.
Corvega Factory.
Good repair. Good one, Ray. Jess.
Sneak.
Sneak is there. Eric.
Medicine.
Medicine is there. You guys are getting the ones that I would be like, huh? Will, did you have a, you want to jump back in? There is, this is the last one. This is the last one.
I don't have it.
Clint, do you have it?
The last one, which?
The last bobblehead. You've got 19.
Oh.
I've marked off 19. You have 20 on the list.
Have we? Oh, okay.
This is the last bobblehead.
Speech.
Absolutely. Clint, you guys completed it again. Wonderful. Two
weeks in a
row.
Interesting how they split speech and barter like that.
Yeah, why would they do that? Huh. And what does science do anything besides hacking?
Nope, just hacking.
It doesn't improve, like...
No.
Okay.
And repair is the most bizarre one, and that's the one that gives you greater fusion core life.
What? That makes no sense.
We did miss one.
Uh oh, what you got? Did I forget one on the list?
I think one, so. Two, you three, didn't four. Say an arm, did you?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Adam Katz.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, it's like there is one more. You're right, Jess. You called me out. Good one.
Wow.
Bonus points.
I didn't mean to call you
good
out.
Job.
But...
Bonus points. See, but that is even more embarrassing because I am unarmed. That is my play style. That is what I do. So great job, you guys. You got all of them and then added one. Perfect.
Right, and I'm very happy I mentioned that I had 1,300 bobbleheads before.
Nicely
this.
Job, y'all.
Good brag, Will. Good brag. All right. We'll close out the show with our next game because it's very,
just
very
all
quick.
Charisma. Yeah.
I've got one more list, but we'll close out the show because it's a real quick one there at the end. So let's go into the new awesome Fallout news that we heard from QuakeCon.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So QuakeCon info, as I mentioned last week, Thursday was the dev day where they did a lot of deep dives on various games, including, of course, Elder Scrolls. Oh, my goodness, you guys, Fallout 10th anniversary.
Woo!
I mean, sorry, Skyrim 10th anniversary.
Yeah,
October. So sorry, we're focused on Fallout, but yeah, like, I'm so excited. I know people like Skyrim again, but no, this is a bonus. You know what? You're gonna get if you already have SE. Yeah, I think
this is
eligible
the bonus
for an upgrade.
Skyrim Break All Rays mods.
It could be. So Creation Club is gonna be built in. You're getting all the Creation Club content plus more. So the way they advertised it was an upgraded next gen version. So they're doing more tweaks, but you're getting all the Creation Club content. They said over 500 pieces of content. What that actually means, I think there are 48 or 49 items on the Creation Club so far that have been released. So there are the 40, I think it's 49. I don't remember exactly, but pieces of Creation Club content. And then 26 new Creation Club things being brought in. So that's a total of 70 some. But they say 500 because they're including individual quests, location. So that's the over 500 pieces of content. So technically it's like 76 or 78 Creation Club mods, including 500 pieces of content total.
That's a lot, though.
It's a lot, like the 7,000 steps.
there ain't 7,000. Now, I was just hoping for a continuation of like 499 more installments of the Lusty Argonian Maiden series, but no, too bad.
Yeah, no, not reading my diary, but God, Crassius Curio. I've said it before, but meeting him in Morrowind, that's the best. After you play the other games, you know.
He's a very interesting character, for sure.
For sure.
New Skyrim, you guys, that's exciting. So, but I'll
part
get
of
it.
The council for House Lalu.
I already have it on my Xbox, so I'll already get all that stuff. You don't have to buy it again, right?
Right.
Okay. Good deal, guys.
Have to look up exactly what's happening, but I believe that it is going to be an upgrade. People already have SE.
Yeah.
I believe so. And it that's for Xbox One also, right? Not just next gen.
Jerry makes a very good point in chat. He mentions not only is it a free upgrade, but Game Pass if you don't own it on Xbox or PC. So because it will be on Game Pass, you will be able to get all of this. So a lot of times on Game Pass, they do a stripped down version instead of the one with all DLC. You can get the base game and then you have to still buy DLC upgrades. But because this includes all DLC and all the Creation Club content, old and new, that they're coming out with, yeah, that's a fantastic deal.
Yeah, that DLC is a must.
Well, that won't
Skyrim
be
too
free. I mean, the anniversary, all the you have to pay for that upgrade. They'll give, I mean, in the just a the visual upgrades and some of that's gone, but for the anniversary edition, that's one that comes with all the
That's free.
They mentioned that if you own the special edition, it's a free upgrade.
Yes,
it is. Okay,
yeah.
So if you're playing Skyrim SE, you're getting it free. Now, will it mess up all of your mods? And probably, of course,
100% guaranteed.
Yeah, if you're using SCSE or however you pronounce that, SKSE. You'll be in trouble. But
and you know, it'll be weeks before it's playable again.
Hopefully most Xbox mods will be okay, but you know, mod at your own risk. They say that as soon as you get in there, even on Xbox, on the Bethesda.net mods.
Well, I mean,
but chances are more of those will work because there aren't actually script extenders.
Right.
Most
don't you have like a what do you call it? Legacy edition, where it's not like the special edition, where do you ever play that? Don't you have different versions of that? You play the upgraded one?
No, I just play the SE.
Okay.
There are enough benefits to SE, but that's not what QuakeCon was about. So I just wanted to mention that. There was also a panel on Fallout. I know, talking about Fallout. So Fallout Worlds, there was a video on that, a 21-minute video. You can still see it on YouTube. But it was a panel that they had on the official Bethesda channel, and they talked to Mark Tucker, design director Mark Tucker, Bo Buchanan, one of the leads on some quests, and Fallout Worlds in particular. He's been the lead on designing Fallout Worlds. And then we had Nate and Devin from, you know, the community managers. Great interview on Fallout Worlds. So they covered some stuff we already know from the reveal and the articles, but there was new video footage that they had in the background. And they brought up a couple of new things. So takeaways from this video. First of all, I recommend everybody watch it. Wonderful to hear them talk. You really get into where they're coming from, some of the things they design, Bo's perspective on, you know, things that he loves about Fallout 76 currently, things, you know, he might change, things he's excited about. I found it really enlightening. But takeaways. First of all, as mentioned at the beginning of the show, September 8th is going to be the planned launch. So that is a week earlier than expected. I expected September 14th. It's actually September 8th. It'll be coming out. So, yeah, you'll be ending your scorecation early if you're on it. That's only 9 weeks. But, you know, if delays happen, then we'll be back on the original track. Yeah. What that means, Fallout World's awesome, but end of season. And that's what Andrew is so sad about.
Ray is already bored with it. You can't let me get excited about for something that Ray is already bored of.
Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing.
I hope so. Yeah.
Other great info in this video, they did not just talk about worlds. They talked a lot about the game as a whole and then stuff beyond this update. So worlds, let's see. I was thinking, because if you remember right last year, they called it a bombs drop event and stuff like that. So I was thinking that this might be coming with that, but it's not. This update, I think, is update 29. I'm sorry, I had kind of plotted it out. For those who keep track of patches and updates, we just had the coming storm update. So I think this will be update 29 or 30. They're not really numbering them anymore, but I still am trying to in my head, you know, in my notes, so I can figure out kind of how it all fits together.
Yeah, gotta keep track.
So another thing that will be coming in the next update after that they talked about is the Halloween event. So speculated, we heard about the cultists. Like, there were rumors about cultists that was kind of on the scoreboard and mentioned in an earlier interview last month. We heard about the aliens because they're right on the chart, but we didn't know what is this Halloween event. So the Halloween event is jingle scorched, but Halloween.
Yeah, jingle scorched in Halloween costumes.
Oh, that's so hilarious.
Oh, wow.
I know. So that may sound a little underwhelming, but honestly, remember how much we loved Jingle Scorched at first? So this is going to be even better because they're taking what we loved about Jingle Scorched compared to, you know, mole miners, and they're dressing them up as vampires, as pumpkin kings, as scarecrows. So you're getting new costumes, which I know makes Andrew happy.
That was on the tip of my tongue. Am I going to get a fun hat?
We're going to hear spooky noises where, you know, just like you get the jingles, you're going to get spooky noises, you're going to get prizes. Also, as a component of this event, not only will there be Halloween scorched, I don't know what we're going to call them, Halloween scorched?
Yeah. Sure. Scary scorched.
Spoopy scorched.
Spooky, yeah.
Spooky.
Spicy scorched.
There will be some kind of component where us wearing costumes helps with rewards too. So, you know, some of the challenges in the past were wear this while leveling up. Well, if you're dressing up to trick or treat and to kill the Halloween scorched, you're going to be getting extra prizes and challenges for that. So this is right down Andrew's alley.
See, I always thought a fun, you know how we always have those new public teams, well, not new anymore. I thought a fun one would be if everyone on your team was wearing the same outfit, you get a certain buff.
That would be awesome. Oh, yeah. Like a gang.
That'd be fun.
Well, hopefully we won't get that bug where we show up and they're already dead most, like, every single time.
No. I mean, well, if they're vampires, they are already dead.
They are.
Did they also talk about trick-or-treating at other people's camps?
Yes, and point number three. God, Ray, you were so on the ball. You watched the video too, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, yes, they're also planning on adding camp objects. So the Halloween Scorched will be dropping treat bags. Like, you know, you got presents before, you're getting treat bags. Well, these treat bags will have prizes, but I believe there'll be something, maybe an item you can carry, where if you interact with items at people's camps, you can trick or treat.
Nice.
So maybe you have to wear a costume in order to do that and have the item. I don't know everything involved, but so
they didn't really say, but they, that was like, okay.
Now yeah, they're trying to make it multi-layered. So you can still explode cars in your own time. It's not Mystery Night. You know, as far as I know, there's no forking of the lawn.
Oh, no forking. That forking sucks.
But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of fun stuff. So that'll be great. And then they went on to talk about the cultist event a little bit more as a definite thing. And whether that will overlap with this or maybe happen in November, don't know. But, yeah, some cool stuff to be excited about. So the idea of... They also mentioned seasonal events as something that they really want to aim for. So we have our couple. We've got the Fasnacht. We've got the Meat Week. We had Holiday Scorched. They're going to try to add more. So they can rotate things in, have more reasons to play and fun events besides just the scoreboard.
We need a turkey shoot event and Thanksgiving too.
Without nuclear winter, there won't be enough people shooting turkeys.
I know,
anymore.
We need to do, that's what I'm saying. Like, we need the some sort of fun turkey outlet now that they've removed that. Ray, do you have access to the Halloween event in your private test or public test server?
No.
You don't? You can't do that yet? Okay.
That's not next update. Yeah, that's going to be after.
All right.
But the final third thing that is an important takeaway, custom worlds are closer to persistent than I realized or than they ever mentioned before. So I mentioned that the two sad things or missing components of Fallout Worlds are the fact that A, still only 8 people on a private custom world. So that's kind of sad.
Public world, our club has 9 people and we could use.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. So still only 8. Yeah. And then the second thing, they're not persistent. So like a Minecraft realm, you can build, you can leave, your friends can log in, they can build, they can see everything you have there. That's persistent. The world is always there and everything you add to it stays there. With private custom worlds, we had thought from everything said before that the world will only be available when the person who owns the world is logged in.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fallout First member owns it. Now, if you're not a Fallout First member, that is true.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm Fallout First. I've got a private custom world. All of our friends play on it. You're not Fallout First. When that world is spun up and I'm in it, you can come in and join. And you have a copy of your character on that world, you know, that levels and moves separately, just like, you know, like we knew. However, if you are also Fallout First, they're saying, because you've got a copy of that character on the world and, you know, you've got a world slot, you can log into this Fallout First world of your friends, spin it up and level your character. Wow. And do stuff there.
Nice.
So you can play in the world when the friend who created it isn't online. Now, you're not going to see his buildings. It's not truly persistent in that everyone who's ever built there, their stuff will be there.
Oh.
It'll only be you and whoever's currently on. But you can make progress in a Fallout First private world when your friend who actually owns the world isn't there.
So can we have a Fallout Feed community camp world where like everyone has access to the one spot, but it just your stuff won't load unless you're logged in. And then when you log in, if someone's already built in your spot, will it clash and just give you some sort of error
message? You'll still have interference, but all of us on Fallout First together, we could each log in and play it at different times. You know, one of us might create it, but others could play it at different times.
Great.
And then if you're not Fallout First, you'd have to wait for one of us to have it on and up to join.
Mm.
Now, I am not 100% that you're not creating another fork. So while it sounds like I'm describing, there is a chance from the way they worded it that you'll be able to play in that same world with the same settings, but it won't be mutual progress. But I don't think so. It sounds like they are actually being responsive here. And they've been working on Fallout Worlds for a while. You know, I think ever since they started talking about bringing mods, this is something that they were working on. Mm. So
great.
I'm going to have to love and leave you all.
Spectacular, sir.
Guests arriving shortly.
You can find him at ClintSC9 over there on the Twitter. Clint, thanks for hopping on.
Yeah. It's been great fun this last 6 months. So, you know, this is my last one as a guest. So thank you, everybody, for looking after me.
It's been so appreciated. Thanks for your services all season long, man. It's been really, really fun to have you aboard.
Yeah, me too. And I get my weekends back.
Well, you know we're going to drag you in again sometime.
Yeah, I'll be happy to come back anytime, but just not too many in a row. Yeah. That's all.
Right on. Well, thanks so much, Clint, and have a good rest of your afternoon, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Clint.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of the show, everyone.
Thanks, Clint.
Any other big pullaways from our presentation?
That covers it for me for news as far as the exciting kind of new takeaways or things we didn't know before. Otherwise, they just delve into worlds a bit and some of the cool possibilities. And yeah, I'm still excited about it. Jerry mentions that he feels like they're adding some of that stuff in reaction to the comments on Reddit and stuff. But that is true. We know that they are looking for feedback from people on the PTS and, you know, watching Twitter, watching Reddit, maybe even watching Facebook some. Mm-hmm. You know,
don't
and
watch
saying,
Facebook,
okay, these are what people really want. These are what people don't like. Let's, you know, make it work.
Don't watch Facebook. Don't take don't take that into consideration, please. All right. Anybody as other news bits, we can close out the show here with my last screen list. Let's go ahead and roll into it. All right, guys, it's been Meat Week, as everyone knows. So our last list here of the night, nice short one for you. Everyone should be able to, you should be able to chime in and get this one pretty easy. I'm hoping everyone knocks it out of the list. But here we go with our final list of the night in celebration of Meat Week. We will be doing the Meat Week activities. There are 10 activities that you do during Meat Week to help Graham throw a successful meat cook. What are the 10 things that you can do while at Graham's meat cook to help him have a very successful meat cook? Let's go ahead and start with Ray, Jess, Eric, and Will in that order. Ray, what is one of the items that you would, the activities you perform at Graham's meat cook?
Play the drums.
Ray plays the drums like a good rocker. We will go to Jess.
Posit chunks.
Chunks. I've got critter chunks. Yes, critter
meat
chunks.
Meat chunks. Critter chunks.
Critter chunks. Eric, what are you doing over there to help Graham throw a successful meat week?
I'll just go ahead and get this one out of the way. Cleaning up the cow pies.
Cow pies. Remove chally poop. Absolutely. One of the most important things to do there. Will, what are you doing over there?
Turning the meat spit.
Turning a meat spit. I'm there with you on the spits, too. Back to you, Ray.
Picking the greens.
The greens are on the list. Absolutely. Jess.
Cleaning up detritus from prior meat cooks.
The rotten leftover removal. Yes, rotten leftovers. Absolutely. We have Eric, you're up. There are, let's see, one. How many? One, two, three. I've got three more items on the list. What are the three... three obscure last ones here.
Are there four more?
Oh, four. One, two, three. Yes, four. Sorry. Yes. Sorry, I missed
that. Did we mention killing the critters?
The critters we have been mentioned. Yes, the critter chunks.
Okay. I thought you meant adding the prime cuts to the stew.
Yes, prime meat. Absolutely. That is very, very nice. Gives you some legendary script for turning in prime meat at the end there. Good answer there. Eric, Will, what do you have? What are the last couple of activities that we're doing at Graham's meat?
I think I am embarrassingly out again.
Oh,
first.
Will. This is why Will brings the lists, you guys.
Do you even cook, Will?
He spins spits. That's all he does.
Yeah, no, I usually... drums or greens, that's my thing.
I see the greens much better than I see the animals, you know what I mean? So I usually try to hit up the greens instead of the animals. All right, Will, I might visit you back if we need you next round. Ray, do you have any ideas?
Put out the grass fires.
Yep. Extinguish fires on the list. Jess,
there are only two left.
I've got
so
two
one.
I've got two.
Yep, give Charlie special Charlie feed.
Feeding Chally, absolutely. She needs her snacks too, everybody. Eric, you going to close it out for us?
I think I might be out this time.
I had no idea this was even a thing. I don't think I've
Ray
ever
and
done
I know.
This one.
Yeah.
Eric, you are off then. Ray, do you have a guess?
Add wood to the wood pile.
Add kindling to the fire. Yep. Yep. The kindling, there's a little stack of sticks where you can donate five pieces of wood there. Yep, that is my 10 activities for a successful meat cook at Graham's.
Taking photos in the bathtub, very important for successful meat cook as well. but Graham doesn't really care.
Yeah, it evidently popular is taking a picture of yourself inside the bear.
Yeah, that is big this year. People are laying on the spit and that laying out photo mode, and they're literally inside the bear. It's pretty cool. Thanks, guys.
I was taking turkey photos on the fire, and I died there. I left a gravestone behind, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, gravestone on the spit. That works really well. Very cool.
Sacrificing for your art.
I do that a lot.
She's not scared of that. Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. All right, was there anything else you guys wanted to get into before we sign off this evening?
What's this about a pistol whipping?
Yeah, I just wanted to give Chris a shout-out. Chris Hadlock has, you know, still been sticking with this pistol character, even though, like, we've all written off pistols long ago.
He's enjoying it, he said.
He's really enjoying these pistol characters, and he's uploading videos where he's taking down level 100 mutants with six shots of an automatic 10mm, and he's just ripping through stuff. So I just thought I'd give a shout-out to Chris for, you know, sticking to his guns, literally. Good job, man. Right on. Anybody else have anything they'd like to cover? Then we can roll into it. You can find him at Will Wonka over there on the Twitters. Also, he runs the at ASA Podcasting Instagram account. Will, thank you so much for hopping on, sir.
Thank you once again.
Awesome to have you. You can find him at engold08 on Twitter. And Eric, please tell us about your other podcasting projects.
Yeah, I got three. So there's Nintendo, where we go through Nintendo games and characters. And we got Tamriel Adventures, where we talk about Elder Scrolls lore. And then Tapes from the Waste, where we talk about Fallout lore, which we will be recording an episode here next couple of days. So retrospective of Steel Rain.
Wow, nice. So,
and those have their own Twitters and Instagram handles. Just search for them. They'll pop up.
All right. Check them out, everybody. Thanks so much, Eric.
And thank you.
You can find her at You Wastelanders and at Dames Who Game and at Sleep Is For Tea. And happy birthday, Jess. Love you so much. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, guys. I love it. Great time.
Wonderful.
BD.
Ray is at RayLB. You can find him off in space at BBCISSS. And any of your new adventures over there in Oblivion can be found at ASA Podcasting on the Twitter. Ray, thanks so much.
Good times.
Our show can be found at the Fallout feed, and I am at IndieAndroid. I would like to thank everyone for downloading this edition of the Fallout feed, and we will see you in the wasteland.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Fallout feed roundtable. If you are interested in doing a play-along character with us, the show can be contacted by emailing falloutroundtable@gmail.com. For the roundtable schedule, our Amazon link, and all other show information, please head on over to asapodcasting.com, where you will find the Fallout feed, a Skyrimatic podcast, our YouTube channel, the Chatterbox, as well as other content. Once again, thank you for downloading, and we'll see you in the wasteland.
My prime meat spun on the meat spit. All right, let me go drop off all this prime meat I had when I left the meat spit.
It is what it is.
Good for you, you bare arm wielding Yaogwai slayers.
We're really into our moxie.
Ghouls in space.
Every knob has a purpose.
Sean. Sean. Oh no.
Dog meat is savage.